This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As spring weather in parts of Idaho begins to make an appearance, I mean, kind of today with the rain, you might be daydreaming about gatherings with friends and family, maybe on a nice patch of green grass in a local park. Well, in Boise, Parks and Recreation officials are already planning for the busy spring and summer months by taking a new strategy when it comes to maintaining those green spaces. Pesticides are one tool the department has used to control weeds and invasive species. However, this year, the city is embarking on a project to reduce the application of these products. Now, of course, Boise is not the first city in the West to take aim at pesticides. So joining us live by phone to learn more or to teach us more about this are two people from the City of Boulder's Parks and Recreation Department. John Cogdill and Rella Abernathy have been part of that city's efforts to minimize pesticides. And Boise Parks and Rec Director Doug Holloway is live in studio with us. Thanks, everyone, for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Doug, I want to start with you. First, tell us about how pesticides are currently used in Boise Parks and what exactly do they do?
Well, they're used to fight or battle some of the insects and invasive species that you have that are growing in your park, in your green grass. So broadleaf, dandelions, things that fight the grass and need to be controlled. And so that we use a variance of different types of chemicals to try to control that so that our grass continues to be healthy and continue to outgrow those weeds. But unfortunately, you do need those chemical applications and have needed them in the past. And we do have a very stringent integrated pest management program, which is what we utilize to manage our chemical applications. And so we stay well below what we could be using in the park. So we are very cautious and very conservative in what we're using. But the right thing to do is to really start leaning towards getting out of the use of chemicals for those purposes. There still are going to be opportunities we'll have to use something to eradicate some of the more invasive species that we're required to by state code or by state statute. But beyond that, we really want to get to a point, because it's the right thing to do, to really limit the amount of chemicals that we're using for some of those other things I described.
So give us some baseline data on that. Do you know about how much pesticide is currently being used in Boise Park?
We do, but for the most part, it just depends on the size of the park. It depends on the location. You know, we've looked at what a lot of cities around the country are doing, and some of it's applicable to what we want to do in Boise. Some of it is not, because of the environment you're in at those locations. And even in the city of Boise, from one location of town to another, one park to another, the soil makeup is completely different. And so how we manage that without utilizing chemicals is something that we're really focusing on.
And this is just a pilot project, we should say. So where did the idea come from to try this out?
Well, we've been thinking about it for a couple of years, Gemma, and it's something that certainly the focus on glyphosate and the fact that that has come out in Roundup as being something that could cause cancer, that kind of tipped the scale a little bit more, for me at least, to really look at trying to do something different. But we've been talking about it for a couple of years. We think it is, again, the right thing to do, and we really wanted to get the public input on that and find out what our citizens would like to see us do. And so far, it's been overwhelming that our citizens are very, very pleased with it, the fact we're moving in this direction, and understand that maybe the park will look a little bit different in their neighborhood, but the fact that reduced chemical or even chemical-free is something that seems very attractive to our citizens.
And did you seek out guidance from any other cities that have already gone through this process?
We've looked at a lot of different cities and what they're doing, and yes, we absolutely have looked at what kind of pilot programs they've rolled out, what kind of organic materials that they're utilizing in their locations, and what successes they have had. So yes, we have looked at a number of different cities, and there's a ton of cities across the country that are moving in this direction. So it's just not limited to Boise or to Boulder, Colorado. There's really a lot of cities that are looking at doing this.
And Rella, I want to bring you into the conversation, because you are the City of Boulder's Applied Ecological Programs Coordinator, which means that you help city leaders in Boulder think through the science of pesticides and their effects. So what do we know about applying these chemicals to grass in parks when it comes to, you know, human and environmental health?
Well, we know that there are definitely some concerns. The American Academy of Pediatrics has talked about the associations and early life in children and babies between pesticides and pediatric cancers, decreased cognitive function, and behavioral problems. And so they really are calling upon parents and schools and public officials to limit children's exposure to these products. So that's really the basis of a lot of the decisions that people are making across the country to limit these products or eliminate them from public spaces. And Doug's absolutely right that it really is a movement that's happening everywhere.
And John, I want to turn to you now. You are Boulder's turf manager, which means you are the one who has to figure out how to balance the aesthetics with the science in your city's parks. And I understand that Boulder first started reducing pesticides about 18 years ago. So generally speaking, how has that gone in almost two decades?
I think it's really gone very well. One of the things that we notice and we know is the level of intensive management practices has to be considerably more than what a lot of people would do in terms of just letting the grass grow, if you will. One of the things that we've noticed is that the critical aspect of the whole project, or however you want to look at your turf grass, what are the thresholds that as a community, or that Doug as a parks director or that sort of thing, is willing to accept in terms of maybe some grasses that, or some clover that hasn't traditionally been in the area? What is the threshold of dandelions and percentage of turf that is acceptable? We've been fortunate. We've won some awards. We've had some pretty good turf grass on our athletic fields, but the level of maintenance is much higher than what would be considered from a traditional standpoint.
So what's one method, John, that you've learned as an alternative that's to pesticides that's worked for your city parks?
The thing that really seems to work for us is a heavy aeration and overseeding process, where we're putting a lot more seed down to actually encourage the areas that get worn from use, the areas that turn bare from just social paths, those sorts of things. But really watching your fertility in your soil, the amount of grass that you're putting down, the amount of aeration you're doing, and top dressing all contribute to a healthy enough soil that, given the opportunity, turf grass will outgrow weeds, at least here.
Yeah, at least there. It should here, hopefully, too. We have a similar climate. So Doug, John did mention that there's a cost to this from switching to non-chemical treatments. So I am assuming you have thought about that.
Yeah, Gemma, we have. Excuse me. And that's why we're doing the pilot program for the two-year period that we're looking at. We believe that'll give us a good enough snapshot to see what the manpower is going to be required to keep up with those practices. What John is referring to is just what we call cultural methods, and that's not mowing quite as often, that's aerating the grass more often, that's overseeding the turf, and there could even be some forms of hand pulling and things like that. These are things that we normally wouldn't be doing as frequently as we believe we're going to have to do. So it's really just trialing management practices, mm-hmm. new management practices, which Boulder has been doing, has some success at it. And, you know, the threshold John's referring to is what we've been doing our outreach into the community on, to see what our citizens think about that and what is their threshold. And that's what I mentioned earlier. So far, it's been fairly positive that they're willing to do a little bit of a trade-off if it means that we're going to reduce the amount of chemicals we're using. So our community's telling us okay right now. We'll find out over that two-year trial period how that really shakes out.
And John and Rella, what advice would you give the city of Boise as they begin this process? I mean, you know, you're 18 years into this.
Well, I think it's really important to do a lot of outreach and education, which it sounds like you're doing. And by the city providing an example, that it can also be something that gets incorporated into people's yards, where people can see for themselves that they can manage beautiful yards without the use of pesticides. And that's really important, since people's kids are out playing on the lawn and their pets, and they can track in the pesticides as well as having a higher exposure just because of the fact that they tend to play on the lawns. So it's a real opportunity to change some practices and that really aren't necessary to achieve a healthier community. And it, you know, besides the benefits to the public health, a lot of these products run off and get into our creek systems and our groundwater, and cause problems there, you know, including issues with aquatic insects and even potentially toxic algal blooms. And so there's all kinds of reasons to make this change to non-chemical practices.
And John, what about you, just from that turf management side of it?
I'm very happy with what we're doing. I've done a lot of research lately and done a couple talks regarding the effect of 2,4-D, as well as pesticides that are considered insecticides, and some of the wipe tests and some of the research that's coming out, very similar to what Doug referred to with Roundup, is showing that, you know, it seems, at least for this community and for where I'm at with it, it's the kind of thing that we want to be doing, and we feel like we owe this to the citizens that are here kind of paying us to keep things in a safer fashion.
And Doug, before I let you go, so what are the next steps with the pilot programming? Can people, is there like a public comment? I mean, how do people kind of get their voice heard too if they want to say something about this?
Yeah, Gemma, so this Thursday at 5:30, we're having our second outreach meeting at the Boise Public Library, the main library downtown in the auditorium. And we'll be unveiling, which we've already pretty much have done through the media, the sites that we are looking at doing. Mm-hmm. And also talking to just folks about, you know, what to expect, as we've already done in our outreach to this point. But it'll be mainly to answer any further questions and to kind of get the schedule set on when we want to get this off the ground and get it started, which we're planning on doing this spring.
I want to thank all of you for coming in and talking to us about this. We've been talking with Boise Parks and Recreation Director Doug Holloway, John Cogdill, and Rella Abernathy of Boulder, Colorado's Pesticide Reduction Program. Thank you all for taking some time today. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is Idaho Matters.